Page 28, 2009, ACB Legislative Seminar Sets a Stage for a Year of Advocacy by Frank Welty. Frank Welty is a new Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs for the California Council of the Blind. Once again, a strong team of advocates from the California Council of the Blind attended this year's American Council of the Blind's legislative seminar in Washington, D.C. from February 22nd through 24th, 2009. Our group included Doug Martin, Joni Patch, Donna Pomerantz, Richard Rueda, Robert Wendt, and Frank Welty, representing CCB, along with Artis Bazin, representing the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America. Page 29, we're grateful for the financial assistance CCB provided for our activities. After a day and a half of training provided by ACB's leaders and staff and other prominent members of the blind community, we swarmed over Capitol Hill, visiting the offices of both California senators and most of the offices of our 53 members in the U.S. House of Representatives. Visiting 55 offices in just one day was no small task for our little band of advocates. We had come to Washington to inform Congress about two key legislative issues facing the blind community this year. Major issues. 1. Telecommunications accessibility. ACB wishes Congress to exercise its power to help shape the future telecommunications industry in this country by supporting the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act legislation that would, among other things, restore the federal mandate for audio-described television programming, require that emergency information on television be made accessible to people who are blind, and require accessible interfaces on electronic communications devices such as television sets and video recorders. For more information, see Legislative Imperative 1 below. 2. Pedestrian Safety. ACB wishes Congress to pass the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2009, H.R. 734, which would lead to regulations that would make new quiet cars easier to hear. For more information, see Legislative Imperative 2 below. Advocacy success. As one might expect, various people we spoke with received our message with differing degrees of enthusiasm, but most were sympathetic to our positions on the issues, and we received many requests to continue our contact with the offices. Perhaps our greatest accomplishment was to persuade several congressional representatives to co-sponsor the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act. Page 30, just the beginning. As important as our Capitol Hill visits were, it is far more important that CCB members cultivate long-term relationships with their city, county, state, and federal legislative representatives. Each of us can do this. Here's how. 1. Appoint a legislation committee in your CCB chapter. 2. Include a legislation report on the agenda of each chapter business meeting. 3. Compile the names and contact information for the legislators for each chapter member. 4. Send a chapter representative to the Governmental Affairs Committee members at each CCB convention. 5. Find out when your legislators are visiting your local district and make a point of going to events where they'll attend. Also, try to arrange a meeting with your legislators when they are in your district. 6. Invite your representatives to CCB chapter events and publicize those events. 7. Your chapter could present awards to deserving politicians for working on behalf of the blind community. 8. If you are sympathetic to the views of your legislator, consider working in his or her re-election campaign. 9. Develop relationships with officials at all levels of government. Remember, the mayor you befriend this year may be the U.S. Senator who defends our rights 10 or 20 years from now. Legislative Imperative 1, Telecommunications and Electronic Information by Eric Bridges, ACB Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs. Background, as the nation moves ever closer to the digital television transition deadline in June of this year, television and Internet products and programming are increasingly reliant on visual information to communicate with consumers. Page 31, products are created that utilize on-screen menus. In programming, significant events are portrayed visually. Emergency weather advisories are scrolled across screens. People who are blind or have visual impairments are thereby denied access to a significant portion of the vast array of communication services available today. In the following paper, we will describe the challenges blind and visually impaired individuals are currently experiencing in an increasingly digital world and the necessity for legislation to rectify these problems. Video description. Television plays a critical role in our society as a vital source of news, information, local and community affairs, education, and entertainment. Video description is where a narrator describes visual elements of a program during the natural pauses that occur in dialogue to let a person who cannot see the screen know what is happening. The nation has a compelling public interest in furthering the safety, security, and well-being of people who are blind and visually impaired by ensuring to the fullest extent made possible by technology equal access to the television medium. Accessible interfaces. Today there exist many levels of on-screen menus and complicated program guides for operating various video programming devices, DVD players, televisions, cable boxes, TiVo, and so on. Unfortunately, access to these interfaces is poor to non-existent for individuals with visual impairments. Such complicated navigational tools and remotes are new barriers to old delivery mechanisms, web access, and web programming. In addition to old delivery mechanisms, we are seeing new technologies and new devices that carry video programming. Programming that was once viewable on television is now available over the Internet and on IP-enabled and wireless devices. However, access to that programming and the use of options such as video description and closed captioning is poor at best. Page 32, Emergency Information Access. It is critical that emergency information be provided in a manner that allows access for individuals with sensory disabilities. Emergency information provided visually must be described in the program's main audio track. More and more, critical information is scrolled or crawled across the screen with no accompanying audio information. Access to electronic communications and information by wireless devices. Today, a cell phone is no longer just a means by which people speak to one another. These devices are equipped with features that will allow the user to send and receive email and text messages and to procure information from the Internet. Unfortunately, blind or visually impaired consumers are forced to spend much more than just the cost of the phone and data plan in order to gain full access to all of the features of their PDA. Currently, a fully accessible wireless off-the-shelf device does not exist. Legislation. On June 19, 2008, Representative Edward Markey, Democrat, Massachusetts, introduced H.R. 6320, the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act. This legislation was made a reality by the active participation of ACB through its steering committee membership in the Coalition of Organizations for Accessible Technology. The acronym COAT, C-O-A-T, ACB is urging Congress to reintroduce and pass a legislation which will address our concerns. Editors note the sections referred to here were in the original act. Page 33. Closed captioning decoder and video description capability. This expands the scope of devices that must display closed captions under the Television Decoder Circuitry Act of 1990 from the present requirement of television sets with screens that are 13 inches or larger to all video devices that receive or display video programming transmitted simultaneously with sound, including those that can receive or display programming carried over the Internet. The section also requires these devices to be able to transmit and deliver video descriptions. Video description and closed captioning. This reinstates the FCC's modest regulations on video description. Those rules, originally promulgated in 2001, were struck down by a U.S. Court of Appeals for lack of FCC authority. This section also authorizes the FCC to promulgate additional rules to, one, ensure that video description services can be transmitted and provided over digital TV technologies, two, ensure that digital TV equipment can make available the delivery and use of video description, three, require non-visual access to on-screen emergency warnings and similar televised information, and four, increase the amount of video description required. Finally, this section adds a definition for video programming to include programming distributed over the Internet to make clear that the existing closed captioning obligations and future video description obligations contained in Section 713 apply to video programming that is distributed or redistributed over the Internet. This section is intended to ensure the continued accessibility of video programming to Americans with disabilities as this programming migrates to the Internet. Page 34, User Interfaces. This section requires devices used to receive or display video programming, including devices used to receive and display Internet-based video programming, to be accessible by people with disabilities so that such individuals are able to access all functions of such devices, such as turning them on and off, controlling volume, and selection programming. This section contains requirements for, one, audio output, where on-screen text menus are used to control video programming functions, and two, a conspicuous means of accessing closed captioning and video description, including a button on remote controls and first-level access to these accessibility features when made available through on-screen menus, access video programming guides, and menus. This section requires multi-channel video programming distributors to make their navigational programming guides accessible to people who cannot read the visual display so that they can make program selections. Universal Service. This grants authority to the FCC to designate programs that distribute specialized equipment used to make telecommunications and Internet-enabled communication services accessible to individuals who are deaf-blind as eligible for Universal Service support. Proposed action, ACB strongly urges Congress to reintroduce the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act. Please share with members of both House and Senate the language outlined above and how these changes will impact your life. Please urge them to be a sponsor or co-sponsor of this legislation. If a member of Congress is interested in sponsoring this legislation, please advise the ACB National Office of their interest so that staff can make a follow-up contact. Page 35, Legislative Imperative 2, Quiet Vehicles, Safety Issues for Blind Pedestrians, by Eric Bridges, Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs. Background. When vision is reduced or completely eliminated as a means of understanding and responding to one's environment, an individual's hearing takes over as a primary source of environmental information. Traditionally, people who are blind or visually impaired have learned to rely on their hearing to navigate safely across streets and through other vehicular ways, such as parking lots. In so doing, the sound of traffic is their primary focus. Traffic sounds provide information about such things as the position of vehicles, their direction of travel, and the speed at which they are likely to move. With this information, the pedestrian can make informed decisions about when to cross the street or other vehicular ways safely. In recent years, automobile manufacturers around the world have responded to public concern for our environment by producing increasing numbers of vehicles that are meant to be environmentally friendly. This has led to an increased number of vehicles on the road, which not only utilize alternative fuels to power their engines, but also run much more quietly than older automobiles did. Though many aspects of this trend are laudatory, efforts by the auto industry to make the environment less noisy have placed pedestrians who use that noise to evaluate the safety or danger of the area in which they are traveling at serious risk. Anecdotal reports of pedestrians who are blind or visually impaired indicate that these environmentally friendly vehicles are extremely difficult and sometimes impossible to hear. Legislative action. The American Council of the Blind urges Congress to pass H.R. 734, the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2009, as introduced by Representatives Edolphus Towns, Democrat from New York, and Cliff Stearns, Republican of Florida. The bill directs the Secretary of Transportation to, one, conduct a study beginning within 90 days of passage of this legislation, and to complete it within 2 years of its commencement, at which time the Department of Transportation shall report the study's findings to Congress. Two, within 90 days after the conclusion of the study, the Secretary is then directed to establish a standard that will take into account the results of the study and will set forth the minimum information that must be provided by motor vehicles for blind and other pedestrians to travel safely and independently in urban, rural, and residential environments. Three, the bill provides that the standard shall apply to all new motor vehicles. For further information on the above legislative imperatives, contact Eric Bridges, American Council of the Blind, 2200 Wilson Boulevard, Suite 650, Arlington, Virginia, 22201. Phone 202-467-5081. Email ebridges@acb.org.